Welcome to Awakening Birth, the podcast for mothers, babies, and the people who care for them. In each episode, we will share information, stories, tips, answer your questions, and awaken your own inner knowing about your pregnancy, childbirth, and those first months after baby is born. Now, here are your hosts, Robin Lynn and Deborah Flowers.
I'm Deborah Flowers, and this is
Robin Lynn.
And today we're going to talk about how to choose a care provider to help you get the type of birth you want.
And this is Awakening Birth. Most women lead really busy lives these days, and you may be in school, you may be in a career, who knows? And suddenly you find yourself pregnant. Maybe you've fallen in love, or maybe it was a blessed surprise, but here you are, you're going to have a baby, and everything changes. And congratulations if you're newly pregnant. And if you put this off and you're already a huge pregnant and you haven't chosen a care provider yet, now's the time. Pregnancy and childbirth don't need to be a scary, traumatic drag. For most of the women that I've known, it's been a super rewarding journey, and it has a lot to do with who's there attending you at the time that you give birth, what kind of prenatal care you get. We don't want prenatal scare, we want prenatal care, so that's going to help you make your decision too if you feel like your health provider is really giving you the care that you want and not scaring you.
I recommend that women talk to other women who've recently had babies where you live, and find out who their care providers were and ask them their stories as a way to help you find somebody in your area that you would like.
Besides talking to other mothers, what other ways have women found their health care provider?
It also depends on what kind of care provider you're looking for, so maybe we should talk about that first.
Okay.
Most people know that OBGYNs deliver babies, and OBGYNs specialize in the high-risk mothers. They are surgeons, so they can perform cesarean sections.
And from what we understand, 88% of women in the United States have their babies with the care of an OBGYN. Again, the OBGYNs are surgeons, so the fact is they have that option to do surgery, and sometimes in that setting with an OBGYN who's a surgeon, who's in a hospital setting, you might be more quick to end up, quote-unquote, needing a cesarean than if you were with someone who's not a surgeon.
There's also family practice doctors.
And they are not surgeons.
Who are not surgeons, so if you do want to go with a doctor, you might choose a family practice doctor. There are certified nurse midwives, and the nurse midwife has gone to school. They've taken a very rigorous test that is put together by the Board of Nurse Midwifery, and they can do a lot of the same things that doctors can do, but they can't do surgery.
That's right.
So they usually work along with doctors. They often practice in birth centers and in hospital settings.
They can do some follow-up for your postpartum care. I think you'll get more postpartum follow-up from a certified nurse midwife than, say, an OBGYN, who classically, after you leave the hospital, you have one postpartum visit with your OBGYN. It's 6 weeks postpartum, which for a lot of women leaves them feeling a big lack. They've trusted this person, and then they've had their baby with them, and then they see them one time 6 weeks later. And that could be a big letdown.
We also have, in the United States, the Certified Professional Midwife.
I'm a CPM, Certified Professional Midwife.
And so am I.
You're both. You're a nurse.
Registered
and a
nurse.
Professional midwife.
But I'm not a nurse midwife, which confuses people. But you have to go to a specific nurse midwifery school after getting your nursing degree to be a nurse midwife. I was able to become a certified professional midwife.
North American Registry of Midwives was really created to bring women into the midwifery care arena and to make it possible for mothers who prefer to give birth outside of hospital to have skilled birth attendants.
This organization specializes mostly in home birth. Mm-hmm. It's the only midwifery organization that does specialize in home birth and mm-hmm. requires the students to get a lot of their training in a home birth setting, since
yes.
we're the experts in home birth.
We're the guardian angels mm-hmm. of natural, uncomplicated, low-risk birth. And let's talk a little bit about our qualifications. We do have a very strident skill set that we have to pass. We have a monstrous exam. I heard from a friend that's an OBGYN that some of his colleagues thought that certified professional midwives didn't have to work very hard to become certified. And apparently eight of these OBGYNs took our certified professional midwife exam from the North American Registry of Midwives and failed. Now, that's not to say that all OBGYNs would not pass our exam, but that's to say that it is not something you do lightly. Becoming a certified professional midwife is it's a career choice. It's a lot of responsibility. For a number of years now, I've been a preceptor for North American Registry of Midwives, which means that that midwives who are finishing up their education process, they do need to make sure that they have a certain skill set, and the preceptor makes sure to observe them mastering each of those skills. And then they also have to have a preceptor there for each of the births that they attend, not just any midwife, but someone who is registered to actually certify certified professional midwives. And I find that that is a very rigorous process. The thing that I like about being a preceptor is that I get to see these young midwives coming in, and some of them aren't so young, but some of them are returning students who've gone back for more education. I get to see these new midwives blossoming, and where they really shine is in continuity of care. And that's something you might not get with certain kinds of practices of care providers. Say mm-hmm. you're with a big HMO provider, and they have a certain number of certified nurse midwives and a certain number of OBGYNs, and you might see a different one with each of your prenatal visits, and then you might not get the one you like when you come into the hospital to give birth. Whereas with a certified professional midwife, they have not such a big client load. They'll only do a certain number of births per month, and they will have more time to spend with you. And they follow you from your early pregnancy. Hopefully they've met you in plenty of time. And then you'll go through the entire prenatal care period. And then your labor, your birth, postpartum, breastfeeding support. I know that as a young mother, I went back and I wanted my same midwives. And they were certified professional midwives as well.
I think you really bond with your midwife. I wanted my same midwife too. Mm. I fell in love with her. You know, that oxytocin that's released in childbirth, it makes it so that the people that are there taking care of you are included in that bond mm-hmm. that happens between the mother and her partner and the baby.
And the midwives or the OBGYNs, whatever kind of midwife they are, and the doulas, they also fall in love with the moms. So oxytocin's powerful. It's a good reason to be very choosy about who you invite to be your healthcare provider. You have choices, and you should feel like you're free to love and be loved. You know, I wanted someone very professional, but I wanted somebody who was going to hug me and look in my eyes and who was going to remember me when I ran into them later on in the grocery store.
I have people who knock on my door sometimes, and I'll open it, and they'll say, "I don't know if you remember me, but my child was born here." And of course I remember them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they have brought their son or daughter back to see where they were born. So they ask, you know, "Can we go see the birth house?"
Yes.
And they are sharing that information with their child because it's part of their child's history.
Mm-hmm. I've had young people show up here in Bali, just passing through on vacation or on some kind of a, maybe a learning journey, and they'll come by Bumisehar or they'll stop by my house, and so often it's amazing to me. They'll say, "Do you know about the farm midwives?" And I'll say, "Well, of course I know the farm midwives. Well, I was born on the farm." And that's like, you know, we're on the other side of the world from each other, but that there's that bond of, you know, similar experience. They know mm-hmm. that Bumisehat offers a gentle childbirth, midwife to mother care. It's a beautiful model. And because they had that care when they were born and their mothers had that care, they want to stop by and see us and tell us about their birth. And invariably, we'll start talking mm-hmm. birth story, and they'll tell us about their birth on the farm.
It's a connection.
Mm-hmm. There's yeah. a deep connection there. Mm-hmm. So if you want to have a home birth, or if you want to have that more personal mother-to-mother care, then a certified professional midwife is a good choice. They definitely have the skill set to guide you through the experience.
So some questions that you might want to ask when you're looking for a care provider would be things like, what kind of credential do they have? How many births have they attended? What is their transport rate? Mm-hmm. So if it's a midwife who works in a home setting, how often does she take women into the hospital? Mm-hmm. What kind of backup does she have? What kind of relationship with the local hospital, with mm-hmm. OBGYNs in the area? Because a home birth midwife needs to consult sometimes with a doctor.
Yes.
And so if she has a good relationship with the doctor, then that's going to increase your care level that yes. you have with that midwife.
My choice when I was a young mother-to-be was to go and see and visit with the OBGYN who was the backup for my midwives. Mm-hmm. So I had a friendly relationship with him. You know, knock on wood, I didn't have to use them, but I knew that if I went in that my midwives would be welcome to come with me. That was important to me.
You might also ask who can be at the birth. There's also doulas.
Yes.
Who are good to have at the birth. You may want to interview the doula as well and see what all their services are. But if you want the services of a doula at your birth, it's good to check with the midwife that you're about to select and make sure that they work well together.
Yes. A lot of midwives will recommend doulas, and a lot of hospitals now actually don't mind you bringing your doula with you. In fact, I have a friend that's an OBGYN in New York City, and she says if you want to have a natural childbirth in a hospital in this city, make sure you bring your doula. And so she welcomes her mothers to choose their own doula, and she has some recommendations, feel like donor-certified doulas and such, who work very well with her and in the hospital setting.
So that's good that the doctors are learning that doulas are a valuable part of the team.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are choosing a hospital birth but want to have a more natural experience, a doula is a great way to achieve that.
When you choose your doula, keep in mind that your doula is not a healthcare provider. Your doula is there to provide comfort measures for you and help your family yeah. to really gain more richness in the childbirth experience, but your doula is not there to replace your OBGYN or your midwife, and a good doula will not do that. That is out of their scope of practice. And again, there are so many fabulous doulas out there, and you can really pick and choose and enjoy having one.
You know, I've had people who were in a hospital setting that really wanted more like a home birth, and if that's what you want, then you're more likely to get it if you choose a home birth midwife.
And stay home.
And
if you want a home birth, stay home.
Yeah, because hospital caretakers, that's not their skill set. That's not their expertise. So you're not necessarily going to get that experience in a hospital setting.
One of the things I asked my OBGYN when I had my first visit when I was a teenage mom, and I was 18 years old then, I asked the OBGYN, what about episiotomies? Do you do them? And his answer to me was, well, of course I do them. Your baby can't come out without an episiotomy. And really, I should have just left right then. because I checked him off my list as possible people I want to have my baby with, because I've tried this, asking whole roomfuls of women, and I'll say, okay, how many of you young women want to, when you have your baby, have an episiotomy? No woman likes to think of having a pair of scissors down there, crunching down and cutting open healthy flesh. It's strong for a reason, and it's not supposed to be cut. And at Bumisehat, we don't do episiotomies. And if you ask your OBGYN, and your OBGYN says, of course we do episiotomies, or often they'll say, well, only if you need it. That's a big warning sign to me. Only if you need it means that you're probably going to be deemed needing it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good litmus test for how to choose an OBGYN if you want an OBGYN, someone that says, oh, no, we stopped doing those routine episiotomies a long time ago. Now that's an OBGYN you can feel more trust for.
A good question to ask your doctor is what his C-section rate is, and also find out what the C-section rate is in the hospital where he practices.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of hospitals in the United States, the C-section rate seems to be around 30 to 40%. I've been hearing stories about some doctors who have a 90% C-section rate.
Yes.
So if you're going to a doctor with a high C-section rate, what are your chances of having a C-section? They're going to be high.
Quite high.
Right. I think it's the World Health Organization who says we probably don't need higher than a 15%.
Yes.
And in many home birth practices, it's in the range of 5%.
Mm-hmm.
Because home birth midwives take care of healthy women.
Yes.
At the farm, our C-section rate is 1.7, incredibly low. In shopping around for your healthcare provider, if you really do not want to have a C-section, mm-hmm. and especially if you're healthy and you're taking good care of yourself, then who you choose as a healthcare provider will greatly affect your chances of having a vaginal birth.
Mm-hmm. Likewise, you can ask your midwife, who's planning a home birth with you, what is your rate of transport? You know, out of 10 mothers, will you transport one or will you transport five? That's a big difference. And again, that's something you want to do early on in the relationship, the first meeting, so that you don't get three quarters of the way through your pregnancy and start thinking, this isn't the midwife I wanted, or this isn't the OBGYN I wanted. Try to choose as early as possible, but also know that you are still the boss. This is your body, your birth, your baby, and you can change health providers. That's fine. You can do a little shopping around. Unfortunately, when you go to OBGYNs, the bill's quite high, and shopping around could be expensive unless you have really good insurance.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of the questions might be the same for doctors, midwives, both types of midwives.
Mm-hmm. I found that for me, I wanted to feel like my midwife was more like my grandmother, my mother, my sister. And I wanted to have someone there for me and for my baby that believed in me. And that was really key. I wanted to know that this person who is my healthcare provider believed in childbirth and believed that babies come out without surgery, and I wanted to have a healthcare provider that believed that I was going to rock my birth. And it was important. So what are the other places you can find a midwife?
You can look in the Yellow Pages. Sometimes they're mm-hmm. listed. You could talk to a La Leche League leader.
Oh, yes.
Go to a La Leche League meeting. I think it's nice to even start learning something about breastfeeding before you have baby. So you can accomplish two things.
Mm-hmm.
Ask around, see who the women there used for their healthcare providers and what their outcomes were. Would they recommend them mm-hmm. to somebody else? We've mentioned MANA, which is the Midwife Alliance of North America, and we'll have their information at the end of the program if you want to email them or go to their website. They also have links to how to find a midwife in your state, if you're in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a way that you can find midwives.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I was worried about going into motherhood was, would I be able to breastfeed? I don't think I was so worried about would a baby come out of my body, even though the OBGYN that I went to once said that I would never be able to give birth to a Q-tip. He said that I didn't have a big enough opening and my hips were too small and everything was wrong. I didn't go back to him. That was prenatal scare. But I was more concerned that I wouldn't be able to breastfeed because my mom didn't breastfeed me. She was in a military hospital and they told her, as a Filipino wife of a soldier in that military hospital, they said, oh dear, you don't want to try that because you'll just embarrass your husband. And so we don't do that in America, which was not true. People do breastfeed in America and they did even in 1956 when I was born, but they gave my mother injections and they stopped her from breastfeeding me. So I was concerned that I might not be able to breastfeed. But when I found my midwives, I knew that they would help me with that. And that was a big bonus. I needed to know that. And that's something you need to know. You need to know that whoever's looking after you isn't going to drop you like a hot potato after you have the baby. And you need postpartum support. You need breastfeeding care.
And you know, what you're talking about of not being exposed growing up to a lot of breastfeeding mothers, we're sort of monkey see, monkey do people. And when you don't get to observe something as a child, then it is something that just doesn't come natural. So It helps to go surround yourself with breastfeeding mothers when you're pregnant.
Which you're going to find at Lilechuli meetings.
Mm-hmm. And just by observing gives you information that you may not even know you're absorbing. But it makes it so that then when you're holding that baby and you're putting the baby to the breast for the first time, those memories become actions, and it makes it a lot easier to breastfeed. You know, we're talking about care providers. There's also lactation consultants.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, I know some lactation consultants that have been doing it as long as I've been a midwife. So they have lots of knowledge, lots of tips. And if it gets to the point that I can't help the mother, you know, I've run out of all my tips and tricks for breastfeeding, then I will recommend that they get a lactation consultant because they specialize in helping mothers with breastfeeding. So we have lots of specialists in childbirth. You know, home birth midwives specialize in home birth. We have doulas who specialize in comfort measures and helping moms. We have nurse midwives who are more likely to work in a hospital or a birth center. And we have doctors who are the specialists for when there are problems. We have lots of different care providers when we're choosing the birth that we would like to have.
I like to say to mothers thinking about this, I like to say, well, remember that the OBGYNs are the angels of surgical birth. And sometimes you really need them, and that's also a miracle. And the guardians or the angels of natural childbirth are the midwives. So that's one good way to decide. It's good to think about all of these things because birth is not just a physical event, and science can't be the only thing that you stand on. You can't stand on just the foot of good science. Just pure science, you'll stand on that one foot and you'll wiggle until you finally fall down. You need a good bit of nature in there, respect for nature, so that's 2 feet. And midwives, because they're the guardians of natural childbirth, they're more likely to give you that natural respect for the process of childbirth, so Mother Nature and Father Time being nature's gifts. And with those 2 feet, you can actually get up and walk. The third foot is spirit, and that's something that whoever you choose, make sure they resonate with your spirit, because that's what's going to make you feel safe. Thank you all for listening. We'd like to invite you to listen to our podcasts, watch our videos, read our books, and find out more how you can awaken your own inner knowing about your pregnancy, your birth, your baby, and the beautiful postpartum time, breastfeeding, and awaken family.
I'm Deborah Flowers, and this is
Robin Lim, and this is Awakening Birth.